Hi, I'm Kelly.
And I'm Alexis.
You're listening to Central Crazies Podcast,
where we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
And we let our crazy flag fly free with no limit. Left off, David Hilgeist's best friend, Elmer Wayne Henley, had been helping David's parents put up flyers for their son and tried to comfort them by telling them that he had probably just run away.
Oh, yeah.
David Brooks, who was Dean Corll's accomplice, actually brought Wayne Henley to Dean's house as an intended victim. But when Dean met Wayne Henley, he saw how popular he was, because David Brooks was like, kind of like, he was just dependent emotionally and he didn't have that many friends. He was pretty like nerdy and like antisocial. But Wayne Henley was like popular. He did come from a troubled past too. But he was like a high school dropout, but he had like a ton of friends. Mm-hmm. So when Dean met him, he was like, wow, this guy would be like a way better accomplice. Like, so he decided to test Wayne Henley and told him to knock out David Brooks, which Wayne Henley did without hesitation.
Oh, okay. So he is a good one.
Yeah, I guess. Well, the thing is that like... Wayne Henley was like, he could be bought. Like, he would do stuff for money. So when David Brooks woke up, he was tied to Dean Corll's bed and he was bleeding from his anus. Mm. Because Dean had been asking Brooks for anal sex and David Brooks would always tell him no. But even after this happened, he still like was loyal to him and like kept being his accomplice and his friend and stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, this whole thing is just crazy. So, Wayne Henley started to be like David Brooks, and he would lure his friends to Dean Corll's apartment. The rumor is Dean paid Wayne Henley $200 per mail that he brought into his home. Dean would tell David and Wayne that the boys he was killing were no loss to society because most of them were delinquents. And he was like, well, they're just burdens to society, so.
Oh, yeah, because he's the one to judge that.
Right? Like, dude, you're, like, the worst burden to society.
Yeah, you're nobody, apparently, yeah.
So the next victim was 19-year-old Frank Aguirre. And 19 years old is a little bit older than Dean's usual type. Like, he usually, like younger boys. Frank's girlfriend at the time of his disappearance was 14-year-old Rhonda Williams. By the way, that's illegal, but she's going to be important later, so remember Rhonda.
Rhonda.
So May 21st, 1972, another two victims are lured to Dean's apartment. 16-year-old Johnny DeLome and 17-year-old Billy Balch, who were tortured and raped before Wayne Henley shot Johnny in the head. And they were later buried. So Wayne Henley joined in the killings of the boys. Mm. October 3rd, 1972, another double murder happened at Corll's apartment. 13-year-old Richard Hembry and 14-year-old Wally Simonix. I hope I said that right. They were lured to his apartment, promising a party. Once the boys were unconscious from sniffing paint, they were strapped to a torture rack in Dean's room where they were raped. And then afterwards, they were buried at the infamous boat shed, which is like a boat shed that we mentioned in part one, where Dean would bury all the bodies at.
Yeah.
Well, most of the bodies. Some of them were buried in other locations, but most of them were buried there.
Wow.
So in November of 72, if you remember the victim, Billy Botch, his younger brother, Michael, is also killed by Dean Quarrel. So the murders are starting to be more brutal and more frequent. Mm-hmm. Then June 11th, 1973, 15-year-old Billy Lawrence is killed at one of Dean's quote-unquote parties.
Uh-huh.
July 7th, 1973, 15-year-old Homer Garcia is killed. And then July 27th, the same month, 17-year-old Charles Cobble and 18-year-old Marty Jones become the next victims. These killings continued with torture. All the victims were tortured before they were killed, like Dean pulling out the victim's pubic hair one by one and inserting he had an 18-inch dildo that he would.
Ouch.
I know. Like, and he would also shove the glass rods into the victim's penises.
Oh my
before
God.
Killing them.
What the heck? That is so gross and ouch.
Yeah, Dean Quarrel is like a really rough one to cover. David Brooks said the victims were sometimes kept alive for days through this torture.
Ugh.
Before finally getting killed. But there was just so many victims, it's hard. And like, you'll find out, like, we never get to hear anything from Dean. 13-year-old James Dramella disappeared during the first week of August. And another 9-year-old boy a few weeks later. Or actually earlier. A few weeks earlier, a 9-year-old boy had went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, on August 8th, this is when shit gets real. On August 8th, 1973, so I'm guessing, I think that's about a year that Wayne Henley had known Dean Quarrel.
Uh-huh.
Because it started in 72. Wayne Henley brings two people to Dean's apartment for another quote-unquote party.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing. One of the people that Wayne Henley brought was his girlfriend at the time, Rhonda Williams, the one that was the previous victim's girlfriend.
But he doesn't like girls.
Yeah. So he really doesn't like girls.
Oh, shit.
So, but the other one was 16-year-old Timothy Curley. And then by this time, Rhonda was 15.
Okay.
She was 14 when her previous boyfriend had died. Well, the thing is, Rhonda had run away, and she confided in Wayne Henley because her dad was drunk, and he beat her. So she had, I think she was temporarily running away. She just wanted to get away, like, because, like, I think it was that day that her dad had beat her, and she didn't want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So Dean thought it would, or Wayne Henley thought, like, Dean would be fine with him bringing her.
Yeah.
Well, when Dean saw that Wayne Henley had brought a girl, he flipped out. He told him that he had ruined everything.
Oh.
And so Wayne Henley was like, what the fuck? And so, like, he waited, and it seemed like Dean had calmed down, and then he offered them drugs and alcohol. Like, they were smoking pot, they were drinking, and then after sniffing glue for a while, Wayne Henley, Timothy, and Rhonda, all three of them passed out.
Yeah, because they were doing what they normally do, so they weren't fazed by it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, while they all three passed out, they thought Dean had calmed down. He had not calmed down. He tied up all three of them, including Wayne Henley.
Oh.
And when Wayne Henley woke up and saw himself tied up, he begged Dean to let him live and said that he would rape and kill Rhonda while Dean did the same thing to Timothy. Dean took Timothy to his bedroom, stripped him of his clothes, gagged him, and tied him to the torture board until Wayne Henley and told him to do the same thing to Rhonda. This is when Wayne Henley picks up a gun, aims it at Dean. Dean tells him, go on, Wayne, kill me. Why don't you? So then after he said that, Dean Quarrel lunged at Wayne, So Wayne Henley shot him 6 times in the chest.
Oh.
Killing him instantly. So, bye-bye, Dean. Like, we're never going to know, like, it from his words because he died.
That's such an easy way out compared to, like, what he should have got.
I know. It always frustrates me when that happens because, like, he didn't have to face the consequences for anything besides, like, dying, and he died instantly, so.
Yeah.
After he killed Dean, he called the police to tell them. Wayne Henley called the police to tell them that he killed Dean out of self-defense.
Okay.
So he was shot by his own accomplice of like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And David Brooks was still being an accomplice, but I don't think he was over as much because he wasn't there that night that that happened.
Yeah.
Wayne Henley told police about the torture board in Dean's room and the parties at Dean's apartment. When police asked for the name of the victims to, like, show proof, the names Wayne Henley gave them were all on their list of missing boys.
Oh, no.
Wayne Henley told them they would probably find bodies at the boat shed Dean had rented out. The police found the majority of the bodies at the boat shed. Like, a ton of bodies. Like, there was bodies on top of bodies. Some of them had, like, been, like, kind of mixed together because they had decayed, like, on top of each other.
Like, infused together.
Yeah. And so, after 27 bodies were found, they called off the search.
Mm-hmm.
They could have found way more, but the search was called off after 27 because the highest number before that was 25 at that time by Juan Corona in California. And I think it was like a way for the police to save themselves because the parents had been asking about the boys and like trying to get the police to do more and they kept ignoring them. And so they didn't want to go too above 25 since that was the record at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they stopped at 27. As David Brooks watched the body count grow on the news, he decided to come forward and talk to the police and explain his part in it. And I really don't know why. I guess, like, people were going to find out anyway.
Yeah.
Because he does get in trouble for it.
Did he know of other victims or just the ones that were in the boat shed?
No, he knew of other ones because he had been doing it way longer than Wayne Henley. But Wayne Henley was a better accomplice because he knew more people. But, like, that was Dean's way of getting it was through David Brooks because David Brooks, like, looked up to him and stuff because he had, like, a bad home life. Wayne Henley just, like, wanted money, I think.
Yeah.
So, when the police told Wayne Henley that David Brooks had come forward, Wayne Henley's exact words were, "That's good now. I can tell you the whole story." Which is when Wayne Henley admitted he had murdered some of the boys himself. David Brooks told police he wasn't as involved as Henley, but when David Brooks introduced Wayne to Dean as a victim, then Dean changed his mind and wanted Wayne Henley as an accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
He also said that Wayne Henley seemed to enjoy causing pain when he killed the victims.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, they said when he was, when they were digging up the bodies, Wayne Henley was there and he was, like, crying and saying that it was all his fault because he had lured the boys there. But he had killed some of them, too.
Yeah, it was your fault.
Right? So, David Brooks was sentenced to life for being involved in at least 6 murders, while Wayne Henley was sentenced to 6 99-year sentences. Except his killing of Dean Quirrell was deemed justified by the judge. But
yeah, I get that one.
He's serving, like, so long. I checked his Wikipedia, and it said, like, 496 years, like, left. So both of them are still alive. I think Wayne Henley's, like, 64. So that's probably around the age David Brooks is.
Mm-hmm.
Both the accomplices are in prison serving their sentences still. But Dean Quirrell died, and, like, we never... He died in such a weird way.
Yeah, never got the full truth.
Yeah, and I do know that Rhonda had changed her name. It was no longer Rhonda Williams. So, it's just crazy how many people had, like, nobody cared to, like, worry about, like, all these boys missing at alarming rates, like, sometimes two of them at a time.
Yeah, because they were what, the delinquents?
Yeah, and it was a poor neighborhood, and a lot of people did run away, too. It was common for boys to run away, but, like, you know, some people, like, know their kids, and they're just like, no, my kid would not run away. And the police, like, didn't believe it, so.
Yeah.
That was Dean Corll, the Candyman of Houston. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Central Crazies Podcast.